I want you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, we'll pick it up in verse 8. And here, Luke is recording the actual birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and his announcement of the angels. And he begins to speak here and he says, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" Now, the Lord Jesus is being born, and the angel goes out, and these shepherds are out in the fields taking care of the sheep, tending the sheep, and the glory comes down. Isn't it amazing that a lot of times when the glory of God comes in, the first thing we do is we get afraid of it? Come on, they got afraid. They were afraid. You know, because here's the thing, we're still flesh. And a lot of times when God's wanting to do something, your flesh will fight you and get afraid. "Well, I don't know about this. I haven't seen this before." And a lot of times, instead of responding the way we should to the blessing of God and to the presence of God and the Word of God, we'll respond in the wrong way and say, "I don't know about that." You know, and over Nehemiah, whenever they're speaking the word of God in the 8th chapter, and they finally got the temple rebuilt, and the walls are halfway up and at least secured, and the people together, they find the scrolls, and they began to share the word. And you know, the very first reaction of the people was they got all upset. They got all grieved. And the reason being is they heard what they could have had and saw what they did have. And so the priests and the ministers had to stop them right then because they had the wrong reaction to the Word of God. You never get upset when good news is preached to you. "Well, but you don't understand. It convicts me." It was supposed to convict you. But you see, it doesn't condemn you. God's Word never condemns. God doesn't condemn. In fact, over in 1 John 3, he says, "If our heart condemns us, the only thing that condemns you is your heart." Amen? But God convicts. That means that God reveals to us His will and His truth. And you and I have to make a decision. How are we going to receive that truth? What are we going to do about it? We're going to be like the shepherds and get afraid? We're going to be like the people there in Israel, get upset because it's telling us what we could have and we compare it to what we do have? So what did the priest do whenever he read the scripture? He said, "No, no, no, don't act like this. This isn't a day to be sad. This isn't a day to be condemned. This isn't a day to look at what you could have had. This is a day to rejoice. Hallelujah. This is a day to receive the word." And he said, "In fact, I want you to do this. Go eat the sweet and, you know, or drink the sweet and eat the fat and give portions to people, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Amen. Meaning what? He was saying you should respond to the things of God with joy, not with, "Oh my, what is this?" Amen? Spirit of God begins to move. A lot of times people miss out on it because they're afraid to step out of the flesh and step over into the Spirit. Amen. A lot of times we hear the word, and instead of looking at that word and letting it show us the possibilities of what God can do in our life, we look at it and we say, "Oh my God, I never could stand up to that. I could never stack up to that. I could never live up to that." And we cast it off and we get sad and we leave. We say, "Well, that's just too much for me. I just never could live that." Well, that's the wrong attitude. And that's what Nehemiah over here, he tries to get across to people. Now the angel is announcing to these shepherds, and he said, "No, I'm bringing you a great message of great glory and joy." Hallelujah. This isn't a message of condemnation. This isn't a message of to make you afraid of God. This is a message that's going to bring you to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And notice that he says here, down here, and we pick it up in verse 10, and he says, "The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings,'" or you could say it like this, "I bring you a great gospel message of great joy, which shall be to all people." Hallelujah. Everybody say, "Great joy." Great joy. Now say, "To all people." Say, "I'm an all people." That means I get great joy. Hallelujah. See, this is a message to everybody. This isn't a message just to the Jewish people. This isn't a message just to a certain group of people. This is a message to everybody. Hallelujah. All people. And how do I get that joy? He says this, "For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior." That word also is a deliverer. It can also be translated redeemer. Praise God. So he says, today, the reason you can have this joy is because Christ Jesus, the anointed one, has come to deliver you from your sins and be a savior in your life. And through your relationship with Jesus Christ, your life now goes from despair and dysfunction to joy and victory. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, church. That's the message of this season, that Christ Jesus came to bring us a life filled with joy, a life filled with blessing, a life filled with happiness, a life that where we can find something good in every situation. Hallelujah. Joy is a change of attitude. And joy is a spiritual thing. Joy is totally based here upon your relationship with Christ Jesus as your Savior. Amen? Joy isn't based upon your circumstances. Joy isn't not based upon how you feel in the moment. Joy isn't based on what you have going on in your life. Joy is always built totally and solely upon your relationship with Jesus Christ. My joy doesn't come because I have a ton of money and everybody likes me. My joy, you know, it helps, praise God, have some joy if you do that, amen. But my joy is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That means if I have a pocket full of money, I've got joy. But if I got a pocket full of lint, I still have joy, amen. Because my joy isn't based upon what I have or I don't have. It's based upon Christ Jesus being my Savior, my Lord, my Deliverer, and my Redeemer, hallelujah. Amen. The word joy there means cheerfulness in the Greek. It also means calm delight and gladness. I bring you a great message to all people that the joy, the gladness, the cheerfulness, the delight, a different perspective upon life is now available to everybody on the planet Earth. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Praise God. This should be a time of joy for us, but not just this time. All the time should be joy. Amen. Now look over in Galatians, the 5th chapter. Galatians chapter 5. Here the apostle is writing to the church. And he gets down here in this 5th chapter and he starts talking about walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And he talks about, you know, in this 5th chapter, he talks about your body's going to fight your spirit and your spirit's going to fight your body. And he said, if you yield to your flesh, you'll never be able to walk in the fullness of the goodness of God. But if you yield to the Spirit, you'll start walking in the blessings of God. And then, of course, he gets into the works of the flesh. We won't talk about those. Everybody's doing them anyway, so no use talking about them. Amen. No, not everybody in here. Amen. But no, look what he says. He says, if you are living in the flesh and walking in the flesh, you're going to be in trouble. But then he gets down here in verse 22, and he starts giving us the good news of what it means to walk in the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Woo, glory to God. Notice what he said. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the recreated Spirit, when you make Jesus Lord of your life, the Lord puts these 9 different things in your spirit and gives you the Holy Spirit to help you to live in these fruit. Hallelujah. And notice that the first one is love. Why? Because God is love. So love would be the first fruit. Amen. The first way you find out that you've been born again is you love people instead of hating people. But the second thing that we ought to have operating in our lives once we get born again is we ought to have joy. Hallelujah. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. That means it's a spiritual force, not a natural feeling. Amen? Joy isn't just walking around laughing all the time. Joy, you know, can produce laughter, but laughter isn't joy. Laughter is an expression maybe of joy. Amen? But joy is the root cause, and joy flows up out of your spirit. Joy is something that is operating in you through your relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And he says this. He says down here that if I operate in love, if I operate in joy, if I operate in the peace of God, if I let long-suffering instead of being short-tempered operate in me, amen? If I let kindness instead of anger operate in me, goodness instead of meanness, faithfulness instead of unfaithfulness, gentleness instead of being, you know, in everybody's face and causing problems all the time. If I have some self-control in my life, against such there is no law. Oh, it's gotten quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Amen. What do you mean there is no law? He says there is nothing the devil can come against you with that can bring you down if you learn how to walk in the Spirit and let these mighty forces operate in your life. Amen? And one of those great forces is joy. Hallelujah. And we need to understand that we can walk in joy. But here's the deal, folks. Joy is a fruit. It is not a gift. I said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. A gift is something you receive and it's in fullness. It's intact. If, you know, if you give me a gift, that's all there is to it. I don't have to do anything to it. I just plug it in and take care of it. Amen. But fruit is something that grows. And joy is a fruit. That means what? That means that you and I can continually increase the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Amen? We can continually grow in love. We can continually grow in joy. If you don't have a whole lot of joy operating in your life today, maybe it's because it's still in its very, you know, early stages, and you haven't taken time to cultivate it. See, to grow fruit, you got to cultivate it. You've got to deal with it. You've got to tend to it, praise God. Amen? How many of you found out that if you just go plant something and leave it alone, it don't do a whole lot? And unfortunately, the reason a lot of us, we're not walking in joy, we're walking in stress, we're walking in distress, we're walking in sadness, we're walking around here forlorn and feeling like, you know, we don't have anything going for us, is because God placed all these great things on the inside of us when we made Jesus Christ Lord of our life. But they're fruit, which means we have to grow them. We have to develop them. If I'm having a hard time loving somebody, I need to find out how to develop that love in my life so that I can walk in the love of God. If I don't have joy, if I don't have cheerfulness, if I'm not rejoicing, if I don't have any gladness about anything going on around me, I'm not operating in the fruit of joy. So what do I need to do? I need to develop my joy so that I have a different perspective on life and a different attitude on life. Amen? And the great thing about it is this, it's fruit of your spirit. When you made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, the Lord put all nine of these different things on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Amen. It's there. You probably just have left it covered up and not done anything with it. But praise God, you can develop this stuff. That means this. If you come in here today and you're feeling a little sad, you can leave here with joy starting to operate in your life. Amen. And you can develop the fruit of the Spirit until they dominate your life more so than your flesh dominates your life. What's that mean? I can be a joyful person and not a person of remorse and sadness, doom and gloom and despair all the time. Amen. I can change me, hallelujah, because it's in me. The Lord put it there, praise God. Now, how am I going to develop this joy in my life? Well, let's read on down here in verses 23 and 24. Or actually 24 and 25, he says this, and those who are Christ's, anybody here that belong to Christ today? So he's talking to you and me, isn't he? Those who are Christ, those who have made Jesus Christ Lord of their life, have received him as Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Woo! Notice he didn't say, are going to. He said, have. Praise God. Well, you just don't understand, Pastor Dale. I just can't get any joy. You're lying through your teeth. Amen. Maybe you just don't know any better, but you can operate in joy. See, joy is a decision to follow Jesus and not follow your flesh. Come on, joy is not something that you have to feel before you do it. Come on. Joy is not something that causes, that responds to something that just good, something happened in your life. The reason being I'm saying is this, you know, if joy just comes because of victories or blessings or people patting you on the back or good feelings, then you're going to be a yo-yo Christian all your life. Somebody says, what's a yo-yo Christian? Some of y'all, you young folks, may not even know what a yo-yo is, but anyway, you know, yo-yo up and down. Yeah, you can put a string on your fingers up and down. Yo-yo, amen. Well, what's a yo-yo Christian? You're up one day, hallelujah, because everything's good. You're down the next day because it wasn't so good. But then the Lord pulls a string and hallelujah, back up again. And then the next time we see, and you know, you just never know about him. Why? Because you're flopping around in the flesh all the time. But the Lord says, you crucified your flesh, meaning what? Your flesh does not have the authority to hold you in bondage anymore if you'll make Jesus Lord over it. Hallelujah. You don't have to be in sadness all the time. You don't have to walk around feeling like the world's against you all the time. You don't have to walk around with a frown on your face all the time. Why? Because the Lord has given you the authority over that, and now you can walk in victory, praise God. Come on, church, you need to get a hold of that. If Jesus Christ is Lord, then that means He took care of everything for us, didn't He? See, a lot of times what we're doing is we're limiting the Lord in our walk. Well, yeah, but you don't know the problems I went through. No, I don't, but Jesus does, and He suffered on the cross so you could have victory in those things. Come on. And He says, this is fruit that is to be operating in your life. And when you begin to realize I can live in the fruit of the Spirit instead of the works of the flesh, and then I can walk in a place where the laws of the enemy, the law of sin and death, has no place in me. It can't stop me. It can't overcome me. I can be a victorious person no matter what's going on around me or in my life at the moment. Amen? No matter if you're done wrong or they're doing right, I have joy, praise God. See, the Apostle Paul's writing this, and I use this illustration all the time because it was so powerful. In Acts 16, when he went in and taught and started the church at Lydia's house, and he's preaching the gospel, and he gets a young lady delivered from fortune-telling, a demon spirit that was operating. Got her saved. I imagine he got her filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, and got her in the church. And what did he do? They came and beat him up and threw him in jail. And at midnight, the Bible says he and Silas are in that jail praying, and then they begin to sing praises unto God. How many of you know there was no feelings of joy in those praises? Come on. Anybody ever been there? I mean, you know, you did the right thing and got the wrong result. You did something good for somebody and they did you in. Come on, this is the world we live in, folks. And you're either going to operate in the works of the flesh and have no joy, no victory, and be defeated all the time, or you're going to operate in the fruit of the Spirit and walk in this good news that Jesus Christ came to give you great joy so you could handle these things and come out of those things victorious, and no weapon formed against you could prosper, because the devil cannot come up with a law of the sin that can bring you down. Oh, he can attack you and he can try to get you, but he can't whip you because God's going to bring you out of that thing. Amen. They prayed and sang praises, and they weren't quiet about it. They were singing praises unto the Lord, and it was at midnight. Their backs are bleeding. Their feet are in stocks. They're in chains. They're in a dungeon, and the prisoners are hearing them. But what did they do? They exercised the joy of the Lord in their life. There was no feeling in that joy. There was probably no great feeling in that praise. They weren't back there going, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I can see him now. This is the day. Oh, God, help me. That's what we'd be singing. Amen. No, they were back there praising the Lord. Lord, no matter what's going on, we're not going to be moved. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're still Lord, and you're better than this and greater than this and bigger than this. And no matter what's coming my way, there's no weapon formed against me can prosper. Hallelujah. I believe Jesus is Lord, and they could kill me, but they can't take Jesus out of my heart. Hallelujah. They just chose to operate in joy. Joy is calm delight sometimes. Joy is just an expression of gratitude unto God. Joy is just being glad that Jesus is your Lord. Even if I die in this situation, I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. Because I choose to let the fruit of joy dominate my life. I'm not going to be sad because of you. I'm not going to be depressed because of you. I'm not going to let the world determine my attitude. I'm not going to let the world determine how I live my life every day. Jesus is my Lord. And the good news is this, He's come to set me free. Hallelujah. And I can walk in this joy. Notice what He says is, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Meaning what? It doesn't do you any good if you don't put it to work. Amen? If I'm living for Jesus, then work it in Jesus. Live it in Jesus. Do it in Jesus. Amen? If I'm going to be a Christian, be a Christian. Are you hearing me? And so the Lord is saying He's given us this, but we have to develop this. Meaning what? You have to learn how to do this. Can I show you something about learning something? Look over in Philippians real quickly, the fourth chapter. Wasn't going to go here, but I never go everywhere that I was going to go. Praise God. They always say, do you have some scriptures? I say, I'll give you something to start with. Praise God. Amen. But you know what's amazing down here? Paul gets down here, and he says right here in verse 11 of Philippians chapter 4, he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Notice it wasn't a gift, it was a learned reaction. I have learned, no matter what's going on, how to be content in God. I've learned that. Paul had to learn how to do this. See, fruit has to be developed. You have to learn how to have joy in your life. Are you hearing me? You have to learn how to react to problems and situations. You have to learn how to follow after the Spirit of God. Paul says, I learned in whatever state I am how to be content. I know how to be abased. Anybody here know how to be put down, slandered, done wrong? That's what it means to be abased. I've learned how to handle it when things aren't going my way. I've learned how to deal with persecution. I've learned how to deal with problems. I've learned how to deal with people that treat me wrong. You have to learn that. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're just going to wake up one morning and go, whoa, hallelujah, I got her whipped. Because you're about to get whipped. Because you're trying to make something that the Lord put in you as fruit to develop in your life, you're trying to make it a gift and think it's all finished, and it's not. Amen? Jesus is still working in us, isn't he? He's still working in me. Praise God. He's still working in you if you'll let him. Amen? Look what he says. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Some of you, that you've got to learn how to even be successful. See, when you start letting joy, the fruit of joy, and that attitude of gladness and cheerfulness operate in your life, that means this, you're the same on the bad day and the same on the good day. Amen. I mean, you know, all of a sudden you get your prayer answered, you're in church that Sunday morning, hallelujah. Praise and worship's going on, you're going, yes, hallelujah. Something bad didn't come forth, and you know, came forth, and you didn't get your prayer answer that week. We're looking for you. Where are you at? You're at home with your coffee, still in your ugly clothes, sitting there going, "Well, I was going to church, but I ain't. Maybe I'll watch it online. I don't even think I'm going to do that." You haven't learned. Hallelujah. Amen. No, you have to learn that, praise God, it doesn't matter what's going on in the battle. Jesus is your Lord, praise God, and you have joy. You have joy in the jail. You have joy when the jail shakes. You have joy when they tell you you're free. You have joy whenever you go into town and they want to run you out. You have joy when they want to throw you out. You have joy when they want to crown you as king, amen? Because you learn how to operate in these things. And then he goes on, he says this, he says, everywhere in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Woo, hallelujah. What did Paul do? Paul learned how to release his joy, his attitude, and all of his faith in Jesus, no matter what he was going on. In other words, whenever I get a great victory, I'm going to celebrate. But whenever I'm in a battle, I'm going to pray and still celebrate because Jesus is still my Lord. I'm going to let joy be my strength that gets me through this thing. Amen? Now, look over here in 1 Peter. You're right there. Just keep turning. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 1. The Apostle Peter gives us some instructions on operating in joy. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 2. He says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Somebody said, what'd he say? He's saying this. He's saying the Spirit of God had already set apart a time that Jesus Christ would come to this earth, die on the cross, and then take his blood, sprinkle it upon the mercy seat of God, and bring total eternal salvation and redemption to mankind. And through the sprinkling of that blood, and through the work of Jesus Christ, and through God already knowing what's going to happen and then making it happen, grace and peace is now multiplied to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! Woo, glory to God. God chose for you to operate in grace and peace, but not just grace. I mean, he wants it multiplied. He wants it to grow in your life. And then he goes on, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hallelujah. When Jesus was raised from the dead, I have a living hope. I mean, it's alive, folks. It isn't a dead religious hope. It is a confident, joyful expectation that's alive in me. Are you listening to me? I have living hope. I believe God's God. I believe there's a heaven waiting, praise God. And I believe God will pour out his grace and mercy into my life. I believe God's going to bless me. I believe he's going to be for me and not against me. And I have a living hope that fuels me to get up every day. I hope today because my hope is alive because of Jesus Christ. I haven't received my healing yet. I'm hoping for it. Hallelujah. I still see it coming. And God is on the throne because of Jesus' resurrection. It's a living hope. I believe God's going to meet my needs. They're not met yet, but I've got a hope. Hallelujah. And it's alive. It's not some dead religious, well, I hope so. No, it's a glorious, God is moving. I can't see it. I don't know how he's going to do it, but it's coming. Hallelujah. Amen. And it drives me to be victorious. It drives me to praise. It drives me to go to church. It drives me to read my Bible. It drives me to get up every day and say, devil, you're not going to win. Jesus is Lord. My healing's coming. My blessing's coming. My breakthrough's coming. My victory's coming. I'm not going down. I've got a living hope in my God. Hallelujah. Come on, church. And it's because of the resurrection of Jesus. It's not because I deserve it. It's not because I earned it. It's not because I'm good enough to get it. It's because of God's love for me. He sanctified it. He set it in motion. Hallelujah. It's his will for my life. My hope is in him. Praise God. Whew. Hallelujah. Come on, is your hope coming alive right now? Are you really believing it's going to happen? Glory to God. Hope looks beyond the moment and sees God coming through. Hope looks beyond the pain and sees the healing springing forth. Hope looks beyond the bills and sees the payment coming in. Hope looks beyond the children lost and sees them in church praising God. Hallelujah. It's a living hope. Brings life to me. Strengthens me, causes me to see beyond what I can see, and have faith in my God. Hallelujah. Notice he goes on and he says this, to an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now that doesn't mean you got to wait till you get to heaven to get it. He's saying it's an inheritance that the devil can't defile, that the devil can't corrupt. It's in heaven. Heaven is backing it. Heaven is protecting it. Somebody says, how do you know I can get it? Because Colossians 1, he says, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. Hallelujah. Woo. It's there for you. The devil can't steal it. God's protecting it. Are you hearing me? The devil doesn't have a right to tell you that you can't be healed. God's got your healing already reserved for you, and he's protecting it for you. It's there. Hallelujah. We have an inheritance that we have in him. Then it goes on and says, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Ooh, hallelujah. In this you greatly rejoice. What am I greatly rejoicing in, Peter? I'm greatly rejoicing in the fact that God looked down through the ages of time and sanctified by the Spirit of God a fullness of time when he would send his Son, and Jesus Christ came and was born by through the Virgin in a baby's manger there in Jerusalem in Bethlehem. And on that day, the angels came and said, the Savior of the world is here, and he's come to bring great joy and victory. And God sanctified that this young man would grow up into a man of God, and he would take his very life and put it on the cross for you and me, because he was Emmanuel, God with us. And God himself came to my rescue, and God's blood was spilled on Calvary's cross, and God gathered up his blood on the 3 days later on that resurrection morning, and he came up into heaven and he sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat, and the Father said, it's finished. Sin is destroyed. Mankind is delivered. And now I give you a living hope. I bring you into an inheritance that's incorruptible. And I'll keep you by my power until you enter into heaven and come home to be with me. Hallelujah. And he says, it's in this we rejoice. I don't rejoice today because of what's going on around me. I rejoice today because of what God has done for me. Hallelujah. Woo. That's why Paul and Silas could find something to sing about in that jail. They didn't see the walls. They didn't see the stench. They didn't see the chains. They didn't see the bars. They saw Jesus. Hallelujah. And they found something to be joyful about, something to be happy about, something to be glad about, something to rejoice about. And their hope was alive. It was a living hope. But now let's read on. He goes on. He says this, verse 7, that the genuineness or the trying of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by the fire, may be found in praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now listen, you ready? Whom having not seen, you love. Oh, I haven't seen him, but I'm in love with him. Oh, hallelujah. Though now you do not see him. I don't see him yet, but I'm going to. Yet believing. See, my faith isn't what I see or feel. My faith is in him because I know he's real. He lives on the inside of me. Hallelujah. I believe it according to the word. I believe it according to the witness of the Spirit. Yet believing, what am I supposed to do? Even though I can't see it. Even though I can't look out and find it. Even though I can't explain it. Even though I have no rationale to be able to describe it to you. Yet believing. Did you hear me? What am I going to believe? What am I going to do? You rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. How do you have a smile on your face? If you knew who I knew, you'd have a smile on your face too. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. If you knew where I was heading, you'd be getting there too. Hallelujah. If you knew Jesus like I know Jesus, nothing would keep you down very long, because you'd make a decision. I'm going to walk in the Spirit in this thing. I'm going to praise God in this thing. I'm rejoicing in this thing, because God said he'd never leave me. He'd never forsake me. He's keeping me. He's got his power on me. And Jesus, I'm coming out of this. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm going to rejoice. I choose to rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. This is what he says in Amplified in verse 8. Without having seen him, you love him. See, you have to love him before you can see him, folks. And when you start loving him, you'll start seeing him. Hallelujah. Though you do not even now see him, you believe in him. And you exalt and thrill with inexpressible and glorious, triumphant, heavenly joy. I like that. Glorious, triumphant, heavenly joy. Not earthly joy. Not earthly joy that's built upon what I see or feel, but a heavenly joy that's built upon what I believe. Oh, hallelujah, church. Listen, next time those thoughts of sadness start coming on your mind, you just need to stop and say, oh, let me look at Jesus for a moment. Hallelujah. Just let me close my eyes and think about all that Jesus has done for me. Oh, just let me stop here for a moment and think, I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. I have eternal life operating in me. God has blotted out my sins and trespasses and no longer remembers them anymore. There is therefore now no more condemnation to me, for I walk in the Spirit and I don't walk in the flesh. And Jesus is my Lord. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I've been set apart. I'm a child of God. I've received the Spirit of adoption. I cry out, Abba, Father. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Woo! Maybe I need to get some joy in this thing. Hallelujah. And you know, you're over there rejoicing, praising God, and it still looks the same around you. But it don't look the same on the inside of you. Because all of a sudden now, greater is He that's in you, and He's starting to operate around you and bring down those things that are trying to come against you. Amen? See, that's joy, folks. Joy, walking in joy, living in joy. Real quickly, look in James over here. You're right there. Jump back to James, the first chapter. James talks to us about this fruit of joy. This is what he says. My brethren and sistren. Praise God. My brethren, what's he say? Gripe, complain, and fuss when you fall into various tests and trials. Act like the rest of the world. No. Isn't it amazing in all of these things how many times God is warning us that even though we're Christians and Jesus is our Lord, we're going to have tests and trials? See, folks, nobody's exempt from the pressures of the world, exempt from the tests and the trials. There is a thief called the devil, and he's out to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's against everybody. And just because Jesus is your Lord doesn't mean everything's going to just fall in place all the time. It doesn't just mean everything's going to be hunky-dory all the time. It just means that, praise God, you can now walk in a strength that the world doesn't have, and you have God working on your side, and if you'll do what God says, you can come out of that thing victorious. So what's he say? Count it all joy. Why do you have to count it all joy? Because there ain't no joy in it. Okay? I mean, if you enjoy being persecuted, we're going to pray for you because you're warped. Something wrong with you. Oh, I thought I was supposed to enjoy persecution. No! You're supposed to praise God in persecution. But nobody likes being talked about. Nobody likes being done wrong. Am I the only one? Is that okay? I don't. Maybe you do, but I don't. I don't like getting up and feeling bad. Anybody get like here? You like getting up in the morning, your nose is snopped up, and you can't breathe. Oh, boy, this is a wonderful day. Hallelujah. I just love this. Huh? You get up and you think you had everything done, and all of a sudden here comes a bill, and you go, you open up, what's this from? Maybe somebody's sown a seed, and it's a, whoa! Where'd that come from? Oh, God, what am I going to do? I don't like those surprises. I don't like it whenever I'm trying to do something good and somebody misunderstands it and they go off and talk about me. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. I don't like it whenever you love somebody and they call you up and you just know there's victory in their life and they call you up and all of a sudden they tell you there's a new attack and they're just broken. Maybe it's a family member, it's a loved one or somebody. I don't like those things. Those are tests. But James looks at us and he says, there's a way you handle these tests. You handle them with a God attitude. You handle them with the joy of the Lord. You count it all joy. You just choose joy in the midst of those tests. You choose an attitude of gladness. You choose an attitude of I'm going to praise God anyway. You choose an attitude that I'm not going to let the enemy control the expressions of my face today. I'm going to say it again. You make the decision that you're not going to let the enemy, the devil, control the expressions of your face today. I need to say it again. It's almost coming through. Hallelujah. Joy means that I have made the decision that I'm not going to let the devil control the expressions of my face today. I'm not going to walk around feeling sorry for myself. I'm not going to walk around disgruntled. I'm not going to walk around depressed. I'm not going to walk around feeling like I'm the only one or forlorn. I choose today to put a smile on my face. I choose to praise God. And when the devil comes in and says, you're a hypocrite, say, no, I'm not. I'm walking in the Spirit. And I don't have to feel anything to walk in the Spirit. It's an act of faith. And by faith, I'm going to count it all joy because I'm in a test. And God says, if I count it all joy, my joy will strengthen my patience, and my patience will strengthen my faith, and I'll come out of this thing entire and wanting nothing. Devil, the reason you're attacking my joy is you know joy is going to get me the victory. Come on. Devil, if you can't get me to sit down and feel sorry for myself, you know that your attack is limited. Come on. He can't stay around. Have you ever noticed the devil can't hang around where there's joy? Huh? People get to shouting and praising God and sickness runs out the door. People get to rejoicing and praising God and all of a sudden miracles take place. Why? Because the devil can't stand it. He has to leave. And he says, your joy strengthens your faith. Now, what he says right here, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. But it all started with joy. See, the reason a lot of you, your faith isn't working is because you've left the joy out. You left the first step out. It goes joy, faith, patience. Are you hearing me? See, and if you don't change your attitude, your faith won't work. And patience means persistence, means endurance, means steadfastness. And you're not going to have any patience, persistence, and endurance if you don't have any joy. So the Lord says, I've given you this great message of joy to you and all the nations of the world. And this joy is in that Christ has come as Savior and Redeemer and Deliverer. And now when I make you my child, I place in you the fruit of joy. Now that joy has to be developed. You have to learn how to be joyful in good times. You have to learn how to be joyful in bad times. And you have to learn how to count it or express joy to the Lord when things aren't going right. You have to choose in that situation to let joy be your response and not sadness, complaining, griping, murmuring, feeling sorry for yourself. Why me, Lord? Questioning God. At that moment, you have to make a decision. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to have a calm delight in the Lord. I'm going to be glad in the Lord. Lord, I'm just going to praise you in this. I don't know why it happened, but I'm going to praise you in this. Lord, I don't know what I did to get in this, but I'm going to praise you in this. Because you see, you inhabit my praises, and joy is your strength that operates in my life. So therefore, Lord, I'm just going to start off with joy. I'm just going to work on my attitude right now. Hallelujah. And now that I got my attitude right, Lord, my faith's going to work. Now I can believe you to get me through this thing. And now that I've prayed and got my faith working, I can be patient until it happens.
Hallelujah.
Patient,
yes,
in my joy in the Lord. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Can I give you one more set of scriptures? How many give me one more set? One, two, three, four. Good. I got a bunch of scriptures I can go to. Hallelujah. Look here. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to close with this. You got to see this. This is joy in operation. Hebrews chapter 10, and we'll pick it up in verse 32. Hallelujah. Listen to what he says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. He drops down here, he says, but recall the former days of which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Look at that. They got saved. These are Hebrew Christians. And just when they got illuminated, lightened, got the revelation of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden they go through all kinds of attacks and enemies are coming against them. Now look what he says. Partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so used. In other words, you got saved and you thought it was going to be wonderful. Hallelujah, everybody's going to love me. And all of a sudden you got persecuted and friends left you. And it wasn't heaven on earth. You were still on earth, and heaven was still up in heaven. And you just thought everything was just going to be heaven every day, but you found out it was still earth every day. But look what Paul says he did. He says, but you, for you had compassion on me, and in my chains. And look at this, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that in you you have a greater and better and enduring possession for you reserved in heaven. You know what he's saying here? He's saying even in the midst, even when you first got a hold of this, instead of backsliding and getting upset with God, you took it joyfully. You expressed joy in that, knowing that even while they were stealing from you, you have a greater reward in heaven than what they can steal from you. In other words, you saw the big picture. You saw that a few dollars didn't amount to anything to eternity with God.
All right.
You saw that a few friends walking away from you was nothing compared to eternity with the Lord and the inheritance you have in Christ. So you chose Jesus right in the midst of your sufferings. And now look what he goes on. He says this. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. In other words, he says, don't stop having confidence in God just because you went through some tests. Look at that. He says, for you have need of patience and endurance and perseverance, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You know what he's saying right here? He goes right along with what James says when he says, count it all joy. You know what the Lord's saying to us, folks? He's saying, if you're under attack, if you'll let joy be your strength, the devil will not be able to steal it as fast as God will replace it. Oh, you didn't hear me. If you will not let the devil steal your joy, he can't stop your blessing from coming into your life. Oh, you're not hearing me. He's saying here to these people, yes, you figured it out. You found out that you're saved and you're still going to be, the enemy's still going to come after you. There are going to be times that the enemy's going to win the battle. But if he can't steal your joy, he can't keep your blessings. Hallelujah. Come on. Why? Because James said, if you fall in that test, if you count it all joy and release your faith and stay patient, you'll come out of that thing entire, wanting nothing. And Paul, writing to the Hebrews, says, listen, you found the key to walking in victory, and that was, don't lose your joy. He says, if you'll keep your joy and keep praising God, the devil may come in, but he can't stop the victory. Because in the end, you'll be entire and wanting nothing, walking in the blessing of the Lord. Amen? Yeah.